Good morning and welcome. This is about 24 minutes before 8. As I said to you all, we do have a discussion this morning. Probably look back at some of what took place for Carnival. And we are going to get into that discussion now. Supposed to join us in just a bit, Ronnie McIntosh, well-known soca icon, is into the mass production as well. And there's a lot to discuss with him, looking back, looking forward. And also joining us this morning, and with us already, Calypso Monarch 2023. And that is Tazia O'Connor. Let me say good morning to you and welcome to our program.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
It's nice to have you with us here this morning. And our show this morning is going to be a pretty interesting one. Looking back, looking forward, looking at what transpired for Carnival 2023, and you were able to wrest the title of Calypso Monarch 2023. But before we get into that and how you were exactly able to do that, tell us a bit about yourself. At the age of 20, how did you get involved in this art form? What are some of the things you've been doing? And then let's delve deep into your contribution for Calypso Monarch and what that entailed.
Sure. Well, my name is Dwayne Tazay O'Connor, and I am 20 years of age. I attended St. Mary's College, and I don't think, I know people ask me, how did you get into it? I think it is, you know, I followed in my father's footsteps, because I'm not sure if you're aware, but my father is Dwayne O'Connor, the 2012 Calypso Monarch.
Mm-hmm.
And being around him and going to Calypso shows at a very young age, I developed this love and this interest for Calypso. So it wasn't really anything where I saw Calypso with someone singing or something. It has been around me from ever since.
Mm. So it came almost natural to you that this would be the course that you took.
Yes.
Okay, I know that we do have with us as well Ronnie McIntosh. Let's welcome Ronnie McIntosh. A household name, definitely needs little introduction. And has been blazing a trail outside of the soca industry and has now forayed into the mass production, mass band, and has been doing exceptionally well. Let's say good morning and welcome to our program to Ronnie McIntosh. Good morning to you and welcome as well. I think we have him. Maybe we might have a bit of connectivity issues. So as soon as we get Ronnie McIntosh up and his audio properly connected, we'll include him in our discussion. So tell us about your contribution for Calypso Monarch 2023 and what the song was all about that took you over the top and secured you the title.
So for 2023, I did a Calypso entitled Sing Hallelujah. And the song was initially written for the 60th independence of Trinidad and Tobago. And when I entered the independence Calypso Monarch, I only made it to the semifinals. And I took the song back to my writer, which is Brian London and Larry Harewood. And I had them take the song from a different angle. And instead of putting the 60 years in it, I said, let us talk about Trinidad and Tobago on a whole in general, not only the 60 years. And I re-entered the Calypso Monarch with it. And it took me straight to the finals in my first entrance, because this is the first time I entered the Calypso Monarch. And it took me straight to the finals. And, well, the outcome was that I won the Calypso Monarch.
Definitely. Congratulations to you. Let's see if we have our connection up and running with Ronnie McIntosh. Good morning to you, and welcome to our program.
Well, testing, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yes, we hear you loud and clear. We are. Good morning to you.
Nice. All right. Well, let me say good morning once again, and congratulations to Young O'Connor, and of course, all other winners who are present. I'm just joining. So good morning, and congratulations to all.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. Ronnie McIntosh, that name definitely synonymous with our carnival, our culture. And you've been blazing a trail outside of the soca realm as well. For the people who I don't know if there's anybody who's not familiar with who you are, But let's operate on that premise. As we usually do, we give our guests the opportunity to tell us a bit about some of the things that they've been involved in, and probably a history of Ronnie McIntosh might be a good place for us to start our discussion. Tell us about your past, how you got involved, some of the bands that you were involved in, and what you're involved in now.
Well, we started in the music from a tender age. Of course, my dad being deceased at the Koto. So I started off in the Calypso tents, you know, as a percussionist way back in the day before young O'Connor was even born. And we went on to perform with Chandelier as a percussionist, moved on to a frontline vocalist. We did our first recording hit in 1988 with a song called Happy. And we moved on to the Soca Monarch, 95, we won, 97, we won as well. We had big songs like The Donkey. And of course, while involved in that music situation, I would have been a lead singer who would have been famous for performing on Stop the Truck Carnival Monday and Tuesday, getting that bird's eye view of what the mask looked like. Carol then, back in the day, would have been a masquerader on the ground. And she would have basically, made adjustments to her costume, you know, by purchasing additional material. And then all her friends wanted that same treatment. So it became like about 25 to 30 of them looking basically different to the rest of the band, so to speak. And then we decided that we would let's bring our own section in a band called Masquerade, which was a spin-off of Wayne Barclay. That would have been 2004. Yeah, we did a section with Masquerade 2004 and then 2005, and then we went on to Legacy 2006 and 2007, and then we basically started Ronnie and Carol the Mask Band in 2008 as a medium band. And we, of course, first year, just like Young O'Connor, we became victorious in the medium band category, Band of the Year. Yeah, and that just basically gave us the energy to continue, because financially it didn't work out, but just the title, you know, gave us that, you know, that energy to go forward. And since that time, we basically were moved on into the large band category, and we've been basically have always been in winner's row. And of course, we came out victorious again this year, Downtown, and of course, second at the Savannah. So yeah, that's basically it in a nutshell. I could have gone into more detail, but of course that's probably would take us till about 10 a.m.
Yeah, definitely would, because I've been looking at the bio here and it's really, really long. There's a lot that you could tell us about, but I think you've done a pretty good job. And as I said, people are very familiar with you already. This was just part of the course how we do things on the program. Both of you are involved in our culture in your separate fields. And some intertwining as well with the entertainment, Calypso and Soca, and with the mass. We've been having a raging discussion in the country about where our carnival, where our culture is, where it came from, and probably where it needs to go. And when we speak of mass, that's a whole raging discussion. When we speak of Calypso, that's another very, very vociferous debate that we've been having. We've had a series on the program for several Fridays. We've been discussing it with key stakeholders far and wide, those here, from abroad. And many people have been giving their own impression and their own ideas of what's going right and what's going wrong. Let's focus a bit on this young, very young Calypso Monarch that we have in 2023 with a contribution that, quite frankly, was about as patriotic as you could get, and staying away from a lot of the Movelang and the Bacchanal and the confusion that we usually get with some of these contributions. And then we'll focus a bit on the mass and some of the challenges there. So Tazia, tell us about, I'm sure that you would hear the discussions about Calypso and the Calypso tents and the problems that they are facing and the fact that they are undersubscribed, they can't survive, there is just not the support for them anymore. And by and large, people are saying, well, some Calypsonians have themselves where they are because they've been divisive in some of the things that they've chosen to sing about. The art form itself is not as glorious as it was once before. What's your response to persons who would say things like that?
I would have to say my response to people like that, because there's a line in my song and I said, in divisiveness, there's no profit. And I think that's a very important line because if we are divisive as a people, then we wouldn't see any profit, so then we can't complain because we are our own downfall. And I don't think Calypso tents have been really struggling because I'm a member of Calypso House tent, and throughout the season, the attendance has been really good. So sometimes I hear people say that the Calypso tents are struggling, and I am confused because it's probably a tent that I've never been to, and I visit most tents across the country. So, and you know, some people just make statements for the purpose of making it and the reason of just making something. I'm just talking. So but I don't think anything is wrong. Calypso is dying or anything like that.
Well, it's very interesting that you say that, because your comment flies in the face of all the news reports that have been published and everything else that have spoken about some of the problems that Calypso tents find themselves in. So I find it very, very interesting this morning that you are saying that
Well, if you want to allow me, because if you want to allow me,
Yeah,
because
sure.
I can contribute in both in both aspects of the whole situation here. Because yes, I can talk about the mass, but I basically came from a calypso background,
Go right
as I
ahead.
said, playing as a percussionist in the calypso tents back in the day, even from the days of CDC before it was NCC. It was CDC, the Carnival Development Committee. I would have performed in, played in tents like Kingdom of the Wizards. I did Masters then. I did the Calypso Review. I was quite familiar with the OYB, which was the original Young Brigade owned by Sil Taylor. And then there was Sparrow's Young Brigade, SYB. I never performed there because of the fact that those tents basically was the smutty tent, the tent with all the smut. So I'm quite familiar with Victory Tent, where Victory Tent would have had two shows, the only tent that had two, an early show and a late show, and on the same night. That tent was owned by Lord Blakey. And I mean, young O'Connor may really feel that, and experience, good numbers in the tents, but I could simply tell you that whole Calypso tent situation, basically where it came from and where it is now, is two different stories. And I think one of the main contributors to that is the lyrical content. And there's a certain amount of biasness, where the so-called political contributors, because back in the day, of course, not back in the day, the Calypsonian was always the voice, and whatever is taking place, whether it's politics, whether it's whatever, social issues, the Calypsonian would sing about that. For some reason now, it has gotten very political, and a lot of Calypsonians are basically showing that they're on a particular side, and that, or even also where it came where they was attacking certain races rather than singing about an individual. They started singing about particular races. I mean, young O'Connor has chosen the correct path, to choose that type of song and stay away from that type of calypsos, which is perfect. But certain Calypsonians with certain types of songs is the detriment of that whole Calypso tent attendance, because back in the day, spectacular tents, you had spectacular, you had review, you had masters in, and all tents used to be full, even though even also the length of the season. I mean, right now, I'm not sure, but I think the Calypso season now is about probably, what, 2 weeks? You correct me if I'm wrong. But the tent season used to be like first week January, straight down. You used to get at least 5 to 6 weeks of Calypso tents. You know what I mean? So it's weird now that, and I'm glad that certain Calypsonians who choose to sing a particular type of song, they're being sidetracked now and pushed to the back, which is a good thing, because you can't sing, when it's one side, and then when it's the next side, or let's say when it's your side, all of a sudden we're not hearing your voice, and we're not hearing the same type. I think the Calypso fraternity wants to hear whoever, doesn't matter who's in charge or who's in power, if there's errors and there's stories to tell. We need to hear it. We don't want to hear one side of the story. We want to hear whatever happened and sing about it. And it has gotten very political. And I'm glad, as I said, certain type of artists and certain songs are being pushed to the back because you basically show your colors, and we don't want that.
Yeah, but as it, tell us about you spoke a bit about the contribution, but why did you choose to do a song, the nature of which you did?
I chose to do that because I sit and I think sometimes with all the things going on in the country, yes, there are things that we could talk about, the crime situation and all these things. With all those things going on and all of those things already making the front page of the news and everything, why not try to sing something to uplift the country and not always point out all the bad? Because I often listen to calypsos as a young person and I feel as though they're always singing something to just point out all the bad. And we already know it's happening. So why always just put all of our attention on that? Why not try to uplift?
Hello?
Totally agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agreed with Young Okwana. Totally agreed. And as I said, it's a great thing that he chose that direction. And of course, there were others in the competition as well who, you know, were heading down that same direction. So that's great. That's great that the younger ones are basically changing the game, changing the face, and taking us away from that, all that, you know, that political one-side biasness kind of situation. So I applaud people like Young O'Connor and others who heading down that direction. So that's great for Calypso.
Yeah, definitely. So because there seems to be, with the younger ones at least, a resurgence of the how do I say this? There are some people who believe in a purist approach to Calypso, that the Calypsonian is the voice of the people and should be the voice of all people. And the younger ones, I know that the younger contributors, they tend to shy away from the Bacchanal because young people really don't engage themselves in that kind of nonsense in the first place. And it's clearly evident with Tata taking the Calypso Monarch, they say, with that type of contribution. Let's talk a bit about the mass. Because the mass is facing the same kind of criticism. And,
right.
And we've been having the discussion on the program that there is a market for everything, but some people seem to have a problem with what exists in some spheres. And some people are saying, well, we shouldn't have this at all because that is not representative of who we are as a people. And others are saying, well, live and let live. Why can't all exist in harmony and make the thing one big whole big product? As somebody who's as involved as you are, you've been there with the music element, and the foray into the mass element has exposed you to all sides of it. What are you hearing? What is the word on the ground? Are people dissatisfied, or is it just a work in progress?
Well, the word on the ground is definitely that. It's just, okay, let's say it's like, you know, some people will choose to sing calypso, and some people will choose to sing soca. Fine. Some will also choose to sing the new model, which is called Zest. That's okay, right? So in terms of the mass back in the day was stories, you know, storytelling, and you talk about the Aztecs and the Amerindians. And basically, at this point, all these stories have already been told. Carnival has transformed into fun, into customer service. You know, of course, beautiful costumes and colorful costumes, well-produced costumes. So my word to those who are complaining about what it should be, I always invite them in. Why, you know, if you find, okay, is this, you know, we head in a particular direction, as they say, and the bikini and the beads and the feathers, if you find that we head in a direction and you are not in agreement with that, then why don't you try to bring out a band and bring back some stories and see what happens? Because the market out there now, they're not into stories. I mean, some masqueraders now doesn't even know the name of the section that they're playing in. They can tell you, well, I'm in the orange one, I'm in the green one, I'm in the pink one. And they don't know the name because it has changed. Carnival has transformed into have on your wristband and what type of service are you giving me for my wristband? And it's happening all over the world. So all over the world, you have carnivals all over the world. The first week in August, there are about 6 carnivals all over the world. Right? There's Antigua, there's Barbados, there's Tortola. I mean, we're involved in a lot of them. You know, so it has transformed into that. And as I keep saying, if you find, you know, you want story and you want to go back to some African thing and have some story about the African tribes, you go ahead and do that. But there's a market for all. And if that, or this particular market with the fun and the customer service, if that market wasn't working or people didn't want that, then they would not participate in. But that is what is taking place. Because we are saying, okay, well, I mean, enough of this and too much feathers, but all other carnivals all over the world, that is what they want, and that is what they're getting involved in. Mm-hmm. And that's what brings the guests and the visitors who wants to play Mazda. That's what they come into play. They don't want no story. They just want to have fun because all the stress and all the crime and all the whatever and all the COVID and all the lockdown and all the snow, everything. They just want now to leave the country and come to Trinidad to have fun. So it has transformed into that, into, I mean, of course, the women, you know, they're very fussy with their costume. They still want a proper costume and they don't want it falling apart. So they want it well-produced and they want it well-fitted. But they also want, when they stop for lunch, they want to have a proper meal. They also want to go, when they go by the drinks truck, they want to have premium drinks, you know. They also want that when you say you have security, have proper, good, strong, you know, men from, you know, from with security background. They don't want no little boy who pretending to be security. They want to be secure. They also want to know if they want to use the bathroom. They could go up on a truck called the mobile restroom, and it's going to be clean, and they're going to have attendants on top of that restroom, giving you a tissue, probably giving you a mental appointment. They want service, but they want service for their money. So that's what Carnival has transformed into. So all who want stories, I invite them to do their own band launch, bring out a band, and you have your stories. But all these stories have already been told.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when you hear some of the criticism. It's more often than not from people who do engage in Carnival anyway in the first place. That's what I found as interesting.
And, and that's the problem, you know, when, especially with their social media, everybody now is a journalist and everybody can make a comment. So a lot of those people who comment, they never went to Calypso tent, they never sing a Calypso in school, they never participate, they don't play mass. I mean, some of them will complain, oh, look at the price, oh, go so much for a costume. They have a problem with people who will pay, and people will tell you, you're not paying $5,000 for a costume. A costume is part of your package because you're paying for your food, you're paying for your drinks, you're paying for the music, you're paying for the security, you're paying for everything. So it's a package. We're not selling a costume for $5,000. And then if somebody save up the money all year and they didn't go no boat ride, they didn't go nowhere, excuse me, and they choose to take their money and buy a costume or buy a package and play with that band, whether it's Tribe, whether it's Bliss, whether it's Ronnie and Caro, whether it's Juman, they choose to buy a costume or buy a package and play mass for 2 days for $5,000. That's not your business. I mean, you know, you vex with somebody who paying for a costume. You know what I mean?
Mm.
If, you know, I don't understand this, especially social media, you know, where everybody, and as I said, a lot of them don't participate, have never participated. So talking about the Soca Monarch, okay, let's switch to that quickly. So, okay, so Marshall decided to do the show, his show on Friday. So it's a big drama. Oh, Marshall, Barry Marshall, mash up Soca Monarch. And ask anyone of them who commented about Soca Monarch. When last you went to a Soca Monarch, have you ever been to a Soca Monarch? You know? But I guess this be the phone and the social media and the technology, right. Everybody. Oh. Have a comment to make.
We're going to have to...
I don't want to.
I have to interrupt you because news is next. But we pick up the discussion right after. And when we get back after the 8 o'clock news, I want to look to the future a bit. From both you and Tazia, you know, what's to come next year? And for the industry, both yours, moving forward, what do you see some of the things that need to be done to strengthen, to broaden, to greater exposure? All of those things as we continue our discussion after 8. Stay with us.
This is the Morning Rumble with Satish Mahabir.
Four minutes after 8, the final hour of our show here this morning. We continue our discussion, Carnival 2023 and beyond, with our soca icon Ronnie McIntosh and our Calypso Monarch 2023, Tazia O'Connor. For those of you who'd like to join our discussion, feel free to do so. Give us a call on 627-3223, 625-2257. Send your messages to the station's WhatsApp number. That's 306-1065. Gentlemen, as we continue our discussion here this morning, we've looked at some of what exists. Let's look to the future a bit. Let's start with our Calypso Monarch 2023. Moving forward, what can we as a people expect from you? What are some of your plans, some of your goals? Now you've attained this coveted title, you're the Calypso Monarch. Where do you see yourself going in the future with this? Let's look at next year. Have you started preparing for next year already?
No, I haven't started preparing for next year, but what I can tell you is I have started preparing for my concert in April month end. I am having a concert because when I entered the Calypso Monarch competition, I said no matter what my placing would be, I am having a concert right after. And I usually have my concert with my band, but this time I am having it as a solo concert. And this concert would be not only to feature myself, but to feature young persons in the art form. And I always do that with my concerts. It is always to create a platform for the young persons in the art form. So I think that is what I'm going to be focusing on right now.
Oh, do you have more details that you can share with us about the event? Or are those in the preliminary stages and you don't have that yet?
What I can tell you, what I can say right now is that it's an April month end. You'll have to follow me on social media to get all the other details.
Keep the suspense going on. I like it a lot. Ronnie McIntosh, tell us about, before we move forward with you, I wanted to ask a question. The inspiration for your presentations, where does it come from? And how do you determine, well, this is what we're going to do this year or next year, whatever else. How do you go about that?
Yeah, well, I basically am not too involved in that department. Caro and her mom, mainly Caro's mom, would have the teams and stuff. As a matter of fact, the 20 this year's presentation, we had a theme from since 20 at the end of Carnival 2020. Yeah, like a week after Carnival, we launched logo and everything like that because we always try to be ahead. So our 2024 theme is right around the corner. We played with a couple, but as I said, I basically would just choose. You know, I don't really want. I am everybody have the departments, and that one is not one of mine. So
That's not you.
in terms of costume design and stuff, that's Caro, her mom, Abina, John, her sister-in-law. We have a design team. We had some new designers coming on board, like Casey, New Vision, and we have Nisha. Yeah, so we're trying to also bring in, you know, new designers and that kind of stuff. So yeah, but that's their department in terms of the theme and the costume design and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we had somebody on the phone. I'm not too sure. 627-3223, 625-2257. Let's see if we have a call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Concerning your programming on Carnival, I just wanted to make it a little better in that when you have a change of programming, the separated musical tone goes up very high, and we have to run to soften the music, our volume. So you can correct that, and then I'll continue to listen.
Okay, well, I'm too sure you're talking about volume and music because we don't play music on the program. I don't know if you're talking about us because we definitely don't play music here. So I don't know if you have your radio stations mixed up. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, I don't know, I understand what she's talking about because my radio, same volume, everything and everything correct. Anyway, I call to congratulate the Monarch of 2023. Wish him all the best and thing and I like the performance. And Ronnie, I want to ask Ronnie a question. Ronnie, up in the country here with what's that biting insect? I want to know what
Hey,
they use.
stop it.
I'm happy with the bite, I want to know what you use for the biting insect because I'm getting bite.
I don't know if there's any advice.
Whatever you choose to use up in the bush, that is up to you, man. You could use anything for biting insects, anything.
Let's take another call. Have a good morning. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Satish.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to your listeners. Congratulations to the Calypso Monarch, Mr. O'Connor.
Thank you very
but
much.
But Satish, you know, as we have been discussing prior to the Carnival, we need in France a bigger, this is my suggestion, because the steel band, Calypso tent, the mask, all the various aspects of our culture, the chassis singing, everything, to me is in some level of disarray. And I think we need to bring our stakeholders together, our cultural stakeholders, and really define what is national culture in Trinidad and Tobago and put these items in an order of priority. Because if steel band is part of our national culture, then we have to put in some effort there and really make sure that it is organized properly, both from a management, from an economic, from a school, all these various aspects to ensure that we are able to optimize and maximize and get the benefit and really promote these various art forms in a way that it ought to be. It cannot be everybody doing their own thing and criticizing one another, and everything is falling apart, just what, like the wider okay. society. Everything in this country
what do
is
you
falling apart.
What do you suggest we do?
I am saying bring our stakeholders together with the government, the ministry, and social corporate, and everybody, and let us establish what is our national culture and put things in priority. The steel band is one, calypso second, mass third, chutney, whatever it is, and allocate resources and both human and capital and so on to ensure that these various art forms and so on are organized in such a way that I mean it is done efficiently and you're able to maximize and really get the benefits of this. Those who have the talent and so on, it just be everybody in their own little corner. But the end of it, as a society, we are losing because I don't think we are getting the best from all our various art forms, etc. A few individuals are doing well, Marshall and so on, and similarly in the chutney and everything. Yeah, but collectively, are we really getting the best from the population, from our cultural fraternity? And I am saying no. We need to do better than this, and if we really want to get on the global market in terms of the economics of it and really bring profit and so on, then we really have to organize properly and really confront these challenges from a very a holistic point of view and not just simple, you know, narrow perspective. So I am saying this should happen early, and going forward, probably for next year Carnival, we should see some improvement, not only in the Carnival per se, but on the full cultural front.
Okay.
Thank you, Principal.
Right. Thank you so much. Your views, gentlemen.
But basically, that sounds really good. You know? I mean, we're in 2023, and here we are saying, well, we need to come together and we need to bring in all these stakeholders. But that's a word that I never really understand, stakeholders. Basically, the point is, for any administration, right, any administration, culture is not on the front burner, right? You don't hear... In any political meeting, you don't hear anything about culture. All you hear about bacchanal and stuff like that. So culture has never been a priority for any administration in this country. So hence the reason why, if there's no support and no urgency to deal with culture, that's the reason why everybody will have to just go in their own little corner and do their own little thing. So his comment, it sounds good. It sounds nice on the radio, and it sounds sensible. But that don't happen. We don't have a musician union. There's no, we don't have a union, you know. So that what he's saying there is you know, it sounds nice basically, but no administration really. Okay, let's say our bodies in terms of Carnival, you know, they don't have meetings in March and April. I can simply tell you there's no planning going on for Carnival 2024 now. Meetings will probably start around what? You know, July, August, September, coming down there, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is not a priority for us.
Yeah.
So everybody basically have to hold their own court.
All the discussions that we've had for the various weeks, or well over a month or so, that we've had on the program, everyone has opined the very same thing, that the various sectors operating in their own silos, and everybody trying to make their own sector work with their own involvement and everything else.
This is what I'm saying. So long as you're not involved, you don't know. Because it's difficult. It's difficult to get material. It's difficult to get stuff in, you know, to produce your costumes. Because we, Ronnie and Carol, basically, we do all our production in Trinidad. Hence the reason why we didn't get caught up with costumes being stuck in China based on the fact that they were locked down for COVID again, and also they have this thing called Chinese New Year. We do all our stuff locally, and I've seen articles down talking about, well, you know, we need to do our stuff locally. We have been doing this, and that's what I'm saying. People don't do research. People not involved in the culture. We just say things that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do your research and ask questions, you know, that. You know this.
No, I do. I understand what you're saying. I understand the untapped potential that our culture has. And when we say culture, the holistic, everybody involved, and how much of an appeal it can have if packaged properly and properly promoted and supported in the various. And I'm just talking about, we hear a blanket $147 million for Carnival, And then the NCC chairman said, well, me get a center that yet, and all of that kind of back and all. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about real.
But that was beside that, and then again, and that was the drama. Where's the accountability? Where are we going to see a statement after Carnival? How that money was spent? You see, and then again, another thing, our calendar of events is getting boring. You know, we our calendar event came away from for the last 10, 15, 20 years. It's the independent promoters now. Bringing new events. Hence the reason why you will see the 15,000 and 20,000 people in private events. But in terms of the body that is in charge, we need to restructure the calendar of events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course the PAN might be a big one. You know, the PAN semis might be a big one. But we need to revamp that.
I understand your frustrations and everything that you're expressing here this morning, we've heard repeatedly over the past few weeks. Tazia, I wanted to get some insight from you. As somebody as young as you are, involved in a competition as steeped as this one is in history and tradition and longevity, are more young people becoming involved? Are we encouraging young people to become involved? And to do the thing in a manner that will see it survive. You've told us, you've told our listeners, that you came from an environment that made it a natural progression for you to get to the stage that you are. You've been surrounded by it. You've grown up in it. You've lived it. You've experienced it your entire life. But what about others, other young people like yourself? Are they as exposed and involved in the culture as you think that they should be?
I would have to say not much young people are exposed and involved as they should be. And I think that would have to be because before, when I attended St. Mary's College, we would have the Carnival concert. Everybody would look forward to this Carnival concert. And now I'm realizing that most schools don't have anything like Calypso competitions for Carnival, or they don't have the writing competitions during the Carnival season. So young people are now forgetting about the Calypso. I am seeing that there are a few involved in it, and most times that is because their uncle or their family member may be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Just a random person coming in from on their own will without having anybody else behind them, I don't see it that often. And when I won the Calypso Monarch this year and all this, the articles were going up and stuff, young people actually asked me, Calypso seem a little fun. It's not as boring as we thought it was, because young people often think Calypso is for old people and the soca is for the young ones. And they are seeing now that it's not like that, because Calypso is something that is very interesting. Calypso, it is very edifying. You gain a lot by singing Calypso. So young people, some of them are coming along, and I think we need, for them to come along more, we need to put it more in the school so that they get more accustomed to it and they grow to love it. But as of right now, I don't see us doing anything to mend that situation.
If I were to say to you, I'm giving you the authority to put something in place to encourage more young people, where would you start and what would you do?
Firstly, I would put it in schools, and not only putting it in the school, you also have to create the platform for young people, because you can't just put it in the school, have a Calypso competition in school, and then you're done with it for the rest of the year. You have to keep them encouraged, keep them motivated, create that platform, because young people don't really have a platform. Besides the Junior Calypso Monarch that Tuco has, young people don't have a platform unless they start singing the Trinidad music. And that's where all of them gravitating to, because they're realizing that that is the platform they get in. And when they sing Trinidad music is when they're getting the exposure. So they just gravitate towards that, or they gravitate towards the soca. But in terms of the Calypso, young people haven't been really getting a platform. And it's good that this year a young person got the platform, which is myself. And I am very appreciative of that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I am going to do as a young person is create platforms for other younger people.
What do you think about, is there a role for the media to play in all of this? And I'm asking you that intentionally, because many times when we look at promoting an art form, keeping it alive, we hear that, well, Carnival is just 6 weeks, you know, and after Carnival, nobody want to hear calypso, they want to hear soca again. Is that what you think? Do you think that's true? Or do you think if people are exposed to it for the entire year, they're going to enjoy it for the entire year? And more needs to be done from many other stakeholders to play their part.
Yes, I do think the media has a part to play in it, because calypso and anything in the media, once you put something in the media, and I'm not only talking about the newspapers, because most young people do not read the newspapers.
Mm.
I'm talking about Instagram, Facebook, the radio, right? It, when you put it across the radio and on Instagram and on Facebook and everything, you are constantly seeing it, because young people are constantly in their phones. We are always on our phones. And the more you see something, the more you become interested in it. If I'm not seeing anything about calypso whole year, I am not going to be interested. I am not even going to know when is the time to sign up to sing the calypso. Because I'm not going to go and look for it on my own free will. So they need to, when they are constantly reminded and they are seeing it, and they're seeing, well, yes, we want them to love it, but then when they're seeing prize $500,000, money is a motivational factor. So they will be motivated to do it.
Okay. Let's take a couple of quick calls. We're almost out of time. Hello, good morning.
Yes, that is Princess Tom again. I want to call on Mr. O'Connor, our monarch, Calypso monarch, to ask him if he could use this year, at least, being a young, vibrant, intelligent Calypsonian, to lead the conversation on what I'm talking about, this national culture development. Because as he's saying, we're talking about the schools, for example. Our national culture, whatever it is, should be part of our school curriculum. It should be there in our textbook, in our school system. So when a child leaves school at 16, 17, whatever, they should be fully aware of what is the culture and so on, and they should be exposed to it so they can continue in whatever direction they may want to go in culturally, if they have that potential and abilities and so on and so on. So I am saying we must have this conversation, because it cannot be this ad hoc. As you are saying, we hear for Carnival, the ministry will allocate $147 million, and we hear this one is doing that and that is happening here. But there is no coherence. There is no plan. There is no... what is the real objective? What is the vision for our culture, for Carnival, etc.?
Okay, sorry about that. Let's give somebody else a chance, as we're almost out of time. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ronnie. Yes, and I've known your significant other, Miss Caroline, and her mom from a long time, coming to the airport regularly and whatsoever, and very nice people, including yourself. But I must assist you with a statement I heard earlier this morning, that you said that the attendances at the Carnival, the Calypso tent, have not dropped. I think I heard you said that, and especially your tent. But are you just saying that out, you know, out in general, or did you have any facts? Did you have any, facts about how much people visited your tent or whatever it is? Because you see, it is well known that all the tents have suffered from attendance, right?
And well, I said it dropped in them. I said it dropped.
Thank you. I think you misunderstood who said what. And I think we dealt with it enough to not have to go back there again. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello and good morning. What I would like to know is that you should consider, you know, a permanent place for calypso, or not really useful, like skin or sack or something, right? It should be covered so you could use it, you know, year or wrong. And I think the conversation needs to start now, because under the COVID, it's 2 years no carnival and then hard in conversation. We need a meaningful change, my friend. Have a good day.
Permanent homes and all of those other discussions. We have a couple of calls coming in. Let's take those quickly. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, my brother, Satish, I just want to advise the guests here that I believe from January to December, the media, you know, like the television and the radio, should be utilized, you know, to encourage people and to give them an insight on what is the plan for the future of our culture and carnival and so on. I believe the media is important.
Okay, thank you for your call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish. Good morning to your guests. I think it's way past time that all cultures, all different forms of culture, be self-sustaining and not depend on millions from taxpayers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. As we're also, this is where we're going to have to drop the curtains on our interview, gentlemen. But as we end, I just want to get comments from both of you. It's our carnival, our culture. There are some of us who delve deep into it, some of us who wetting our feet, some of us who couldn't care less. But at the end of the day, it's a part of who we are, whether we like it or not. To our citizens, let's start with our Calypso monarch. More people, how do I phrase this? Would you like to see more people getting involved in the Calypso, supporting the Calypso, ensuring that it can survive and is on a more steady footing? And what would you say to persons who need that kind of encouragement or want to be a part of it? As the Calypso Monarch of 2023, let me hear you sell the thing.
Of course, I think more persons should get involved. I mean, that is making more competition for myself. But obviously, yes, I do think more persons should get involved because we want to keep the thing going for years again, more and more years. And I mean, as I said, money is a motivational factor. Money motivates everything in the world. And the prize is a nice prize. So come in and give me a little competition.
Okay. Ronnie, for persons, I've always said to myself that as a Trinbagonian, you should play mass at least once in your life. So that when you travel
I would love to see more people. I would love to see more people playing mass at Ronnie and Caro, if you ask me that.
Okay. And the reason why I say that you should at least once is that when you go abroad, you can tell people what the experience is like, whether you like it or you don't. This year we were told this is supposed to be mother of all carnivals, but we've had conflicting reports on whether or not it was the participation.
Mommy didn't show up.
What do you think the experience is going to be next year?
I think 24 is going to be bigger than this year, based on the fact that based on the economy too. Economy, you know, a lot of people still home, you know, and even a lot of people were still skeptical as well in terms of getting back out there. So I think 2024 is, I wouldn't say the mother, but I think 2024 is going to be, a lot of people stayed away for this one for different reasons, you know. And as you say, moving forward, you know, and it's nice to say, well, you know, the media and stuff, but if you listen to the radio stations now, listen to all of them now, I mean, it's just a week after Carnival, listen to all them stations now and check the percentage of soca that they play, you know, and in terms of Young O'Connor, I mean, he's the Calypso Monarch of 2023. I can't remember hearing his song on any station. I mean, I don't listen to all, but I can't remember hearing his song. I mean, and this is the winning Calypso song. I mean, so there's no, what you say, there's no room for a Calypso in your whole programming. There's not room for one Calypso, at least the winner. I ain't heard nowhere. You know, so that alone should tell you what the state of our country in terms of it, you know, defending our culture and stuff like that. I hear Young O'Connor song now, and it's a good song. As a matter of fact, I heard him. I judged him when he was trying to get into the tent and stuff like that. The audition, sorry, that is, yeah. And I heard that song and I was really impressed with him and told him that personally. I spoke to his dad as well. So, you know, we're in a bad state and we have always been there, and this is nothing new. Ash Wednesday, the radio station go back to the normal programming with a little one soca, two soca. It's the same thing. So all these nice comments and all these plans about, you know, the guy sounds like he wants Young O'Connor to take up the challenge to go to the schools. That's not his job. That is the administration and whoever's in power. That's their job, to set up these things in school. And then they call Young O'Connor and say, listen, we need it to appear in certain schools because, of course, you're the Calypso Monarch. But it's not his job to take on the challenge. And just plan that. No, we pay taxpayers are paying people for that. Yeah. We pay people for that. We have a minister of culture. We have a minister in the ministry. We have NCC chairman. We have NCC. We have all these people who are being paid to set, you know, to set the course. Young O'Connor now is just to celebrate and look to see and get some and plan his concert and look for some foreign shows. you know what I mean, and plan for next year. That's his job.
Yeah.
And if they call him to make an appearance at some school, I'm sure he'd be making himself available. But it's not his job to champion any cause.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. I really do. Gentlemen, I want to thank both of you for being with us here this morning. Congratulations again on both of your achievements. And we wish you guys all the best for the future moving forward. Thank you once again for sharing your insight and, you know, explaining some of the things that people may not necessarily understand, and for being a part of our series related to our carnival, our culture. Thank you guys once again.
Thank you, man.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.